With All-Star Weekend ahead, the entire town's going baseball crazy. And why not? It's not like we're going football crazy. But maybe we should. Believe it or not, we're the home of a winning team in the midst of a winning season. At 7-1, on their way to quarterfinal playoff action in Dallas. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, meet this town's best-kept football secret. It's not the Chiefs. It's not Sporting KC. It's actually the KC Tribe, a women's tackle football team in a women's tackle football league, the WFA. And the players will be joining us for the second half of today's show. But first, a look at how dead tree money is going out of style and the banking industry is paying close attention. We'll look at how money and banking and payments are going mobile and how large industries and new software are prepared to take that charge and tackle it head on. Two halves of hard-hitting action on today's Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. There are more people with mobile phones than with cars, or televisions, or even internet access. There are also more people with mobile phones than there are with bank accounts, which is one of the reasons why banks are going mobile and mobile payment systems are rising exponentially. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Joining us now to talk about the future of mobile banking and payment architecture are Ryan Weber, president of KC Next, a nonprofit that advocates for tech companies and technology growth, and Jeff Chambers from Alterra Bank. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When did we start to see a noticeable growth in mobile banking, Jeff?
Well, I mean, we're in the midst of it right now. I'd say within the last 2 years, it's started to explode, I think, within our space.
Tell us about your bank and what makes it different from other banks, and define mobile banking for us.
Sure. Alterra Bank is a locally based, locally owned commercial bank serving entrepreneurs and the people who make them successful here in Kansas City. What makes us a little bit different, I think, is we have a real dedication to technology and delivering technology. So we're not asking people to come into the branch as much. We're giving them the ability to bank when and where they want. We call it Bank Everywhere. So we've introduced mobile banking, person-to-person payments, obviously online banking channel, but we even now have the ability for someone to make a deposit with a check by taking a picture of the front and back and submitting it. So for us, we're one of, there are about 7,500 banks in the country, we're one of 111 to have introduced that technology right here in Kansas City.
So what is mobile banking per se? I mean, you have ATMs, you have debit cards, and everybody's moving around, and very few people are going into branches en masse. On a larger level, but
right.
What is mobile banking?
I think for us in the industry, it would be what you can do with that your mobile phone, actually. The advent of smartphones has made it possible to do a lot more than you ever were able to do. But I think even from bank to bank, what mobile banking really is different. You know, for us, it's a barrier breaker, right? It gives you the ability to transact with your bank when and where you need to. Not every bank has turned on, if you will, every application that's possible through mobile. But it gives you the ability to check a transaction, to have alerts sent to your phone when there's any sort of activity on your account, transfer payments from one account to another, actually make a payment to you. Let's say I owe you $50 for something. I could send you a text or an email, and you could collect that money, whether you bank with Alterra or Commerce or any other bank like that.
And that's very interesting. How does mobile payment and the growth of mobile payment systems and architecture, Ryan, lend to this discussion?
Well, I think our region and the assets that we have in our region is what kind of led us to do this special event that we're having on Monday. But I think Kansas City has two specific assets where we have a lot of mobile talent that's here in the area. And I think we could really thank companies like Sprint, Handmark, and a number of other app development shops that have brought that talent here. But if you drive around, you'll notice that we also have a number of banks. And those worlds are starting to collide. I think Alterra Bank and what Jeff's doing is a good example of that. You know, having these worlds collide makes Kansas City a unique place to launch some of these platforms.
What are some of the biggest trends in mobile transactions right now that you've noticed?
Right now, I think what's more common that I've seen is peer-to-peer. I mean, people really want to be able to send each other money in a relatively easy fashion. But also, I think in the future, you know, people are not going to want to carry a wallet. I think eventually your identification and everything would be directly attached to an application on your smartphone. But, you know, ideally, you know, small business owners are the ones that would benefit tremendously by this innovation, because I think they would all agree a large source of pain is credit card processing fees and annual fees that they have with every transaction that occurs. So to gain an extra 10% by reducing those fees is significant to small business owners.
You founded Altera Bank and established Altera Bank as a sort of different bank, a bank for the future, a more nimble bank based on a lot of this mobile technology and leveraging technology for banking purposes. How is banking on mobile handsets being received by customers?
I mean, they're slowly. To be completely candid about it. You know, one of the things that, you know, Ryan mentioned there is, you know, sort of mobile payments and the mobile and the sort of the Google wallet or, you know, virtual wallet. One of the things that I think is interesting is, you know, whether it's PayPal or Google, there hasn't been widespread adoption of that. And one of the reasons is trust, right? Individuals don't necessarily trust Google with their money, but they do trust their bank. And so I think when we'll start to see things like virtual wallet and a redefinition of mobile payments start to happen, or when banks start to accept it a little bit more often. For us, you know, the people in adopting the new technology has been good, but it still represents today around 25%, about a quarter of our entire customer base.
How are you measuring the usage of mobile handsets for the purposes of banking? Or is there any way to track that on your end?
There is. I mean, it's really sort of a tick mark that, you know, have they accepted mobile or specifically mobile deposit? Because we don't just hand out the mobile deposit to anyone, right? You have to be a good customer in good standing, because there's a trust factor on that. Because essentially what you're doing is originating a deposit on your own. You're doing something that the bank would normally do on your own. And regulators and compliance officials want to make sure that you're checking all the boxes to make sure you're giving that to someone that we can trust. So that one as well, that one, and to be honest with you, we have seen the most adoption on with our commercial accounts. Individuals that have a lot of deposits that they need to make, they accept a lot of checks, they can just run them through a flatbed scanner in their office and not ever have to come into the branch.
Is this something that you saw forecasted in the banking community and in the banking system a while ago?
Well, we've been talking about it a lot for about a decade, but there's been a lot of just talk about it. And for us, I think that was why our focus, why we pushed so hard to introduce this. I think we are a little bit leading edge for that. And it's unique for a $145 million Kansas City-based bank to be leading edge on such a technology. But we're fooling ourselves if we think that that's not the wave of the future. That's, you know, individuals in a younger generation don't care about coming into the branch and quite frankly don't want to. So why should I force that? I'm trying to square peg round hole things with a lot of customers out there, and we're not going to do that.
Without getting into proprietary specifics,
sure.
Tell us how your back-end technology works for the mobile program. How does it work?
Well, we have good partners, quite frankly. Jack Henry & Associates, which is a large software company, actually based in Monett, Missouri, but one of the larger financial software companies in the country, helped us to launch most of these. So there are third-party partners on all of that. There are controls on the back end for us so that we can – so, for example, if someone does take a picture of a check and deposits it, an actual person looks at that. You know, I mean, computers can do a lot to try and catch fraud, but an actual person looks at that and verifies that it makes sense what's going on there. But in terms of, you know, the technology itself, we didn't develop it. I mean, we're a small bank, right? And so to the R&D required to build such a technology is out of our capacity. So we just found really good partners who had that and worked with them to get it done.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. We're talking about the rise in mobile banking and mobile payment systems on today's program. Our guests are Ryan Weber, president of KC Next, a nonprofit that advocates for tech companies and tech innovation. And we're talking with Jeff Chambers from Altera Bank. The event that they're putting together is called the Future Go, the Future of Mobile Payments. And it'll take place at the Kauffman Center on Monday, July 9th. The event will feature Bar Pacheco from the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, as well as CEOs from two nationally recognized leaders in the mobile payment industry, Gowalla and Chirpify. More info is on our website at kcur.org. tell us about these companies that will be featured at the event, Ryan.
Sure. Yeah, we're really excited to have this event. And one of the companies that we mentioned is Dwolla. It's a D-W-O-L-L-A, not Goala. I think that was something that Google purchased a while ago. We're very excited to have these three speakers. I do believe this is probably the first time in the research that we've done that the Federal Reserve Bank will be on a stage with two technology entrepreneurs talking about the same topic. It's unique for Kansas City because our branch of the Fed has done a lot of research in this space, which is really unique, and they're excited to be able to share what they know and how they see the future unraveling too. And then our other two speakers, the two technology entrepreneurs, one is Ben Milne, who's recently received a lot of press. He's a Forbes 30 Under 30 entrepreneur, and he's had a lot of major investors that have invested in Dwolla. He's had everyone from Ashton Kutcher to a number of the name brand venture capital firms on both coasts, and they're taking off. I mean, they really want to create a global platform that makes it very simple to send money to peers and to businesses as well. And our third speaker is Chris Tesso from a company called Chirpify. And they're based out of Portland, Oregon, and they allow you to basically, through the use of Twitter, tweet money to each other, which is incredible. You link either your Twitter and your PayPal and other platforms in the future too. And you know, if you're trying to do a fundraising campaign or a political campaign, that could be a heck of an asset to have to make it even easier to accept funds and even microfunds, which is important for the industry.
It's interesting, Ryan, that you bring up Barb Pacheco. She's in charge of the payment systems and transactions and financial service interactions with the banks that the Fed oversees. To what extent does mobile banking and payment systems change the way regulators or non-commercial bank agencies work with banks to do their jobs?
I mean, I think they're still sort of feeling out the space and making sure that they understand, you know, what it really means for all of us. You know, in terms of the Fed and the future of mobile payments, I have to give a lot of credit to the Fed here in Kansas City. They're trying to get out in front of it. They're trying to be very proactive. They sort of have an entrepreneurial slant, if you will, to the way they're approaching it. And really, I think what they're doing at this point, it's a discovery phase for them. They want to understand what's possible, what entrepreneurs like Ben are doing with Dwolla, and know how that works for banks and how what role they will play in that.
Dwolla's website says, say goodbye to plastic cards, ATM fees, hidden charges, and fine print. And they claim to empower anyone with an internet connection to safely send money to friends or businesses. Are you taking bets on when we become a completely cashless society? What do you think, 2022, something like that?
It's trending that way for sure. I don't know when we'll be cashless. It'll never happen, quite frankly, in my opinion. Well, at least maybe in my lifetime, we won't see a completely cashless society. But I think if you want to see what the United States will look like, take a look at what Europe looks like today and the way they've adopted electronic banking and transactions. They're a little ahead of the curve than we are in terms of real-time payments.
What are they doing over there?
Everything that you hear us talking about today, they're doing now, right? So from near-field communication, so paying for things with your phone, to not actually having physical plastic for anything, and real-time transactions that happen. So, you originate a transaction on one end, it goes through instantly. So now there's some clearing that goes through, and there's a lot of different steps in between. And that's how the U.S. works. Europe sort of narrowed that process, which is what Ben and Dwolla are trying to do.
How does that work for clearance banks, clearing the transactions in the middle?
Yeah, there are a lot of steps in between. Actually, if you get a chance and you navigate around the Dwolla website, there's a really good infographic that they put together that explains how all the multiple hands really that are in the basket to try and take a piece from MasterCard and Visa and, you know, the originators on that end, the merchants themselves, the, you know, the banks that are in the middle that are clear of the transaction. There are a lot of steps in between that raise the interchange fee rate.
There are a lot of steps in between, and speaking of which, a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And with the rise of mobile technology and mobile usage, we also see a rise of mobile hackers and malware and people trying to get into people's mobile phones and mobile data. What are some of the biggest security concerns out there?
Well, I mean, you'll see a number of security companies that have been very successful over the last couple of years, especially on the web. And I think in the future, you're going to see a number more that are very focused on mobile security. and how you can secure the use of your smartphone. You know, the interesting thing is that it already is more secure than the use of a credit card. You know, most cell phones you have to plug in a passcode to use, or you'd have to plug in a PIN number to be able to send a payment electronically. And that already is light years ahead of security in regards to what a credit card has. So credit cards are very insecure when you're making payments, especially through the web. And I think that's step one. But after that, you know, there's always the concern of fraud. There's always the concern of some sort of security breaches or, you know, the loss of some personal information. And companies right now are making sure that they do everything they can to be as secure as possible, because consumer confidence, if that drops, I think it could really decrease the number of users in the mobile payment space.
How's Altera working out those security concerns on the back end, if there are concerns there?
Well, there are always concerns. You're always paying attention to what's out there. We're probably getting outside of a little bit of what I know technically. I just focus on the strategy of delivering it. But, you know, Jack Henry, again, back to them, and MyTech, who is the developer of one of the applications that we have, there are standards that they have to live up to that they've been able to accomplish. One of the things, each cell phone is unique, and that you do have a lot more flexibility in terms of clearing that information should it be lost or stolen. But you know, from a back end protection standpoint, we've really relied on what the third party experts have done with that.
So, for some of our listeners who may just be joining us, let's look at some of the trends in mobile banking and how they work. How does a virtual deposit work?
It's pretty amazing and remarkably simple. You're essentially taking a picture of the front of the check, and then you take a picture of the back where you would have signed it. And what it's doing is reading the MICR down at the bottom, just like it does if you walk into the branch. I mean, if you walk into a branch, hand a teller a check, they're going to run it through a scanner, which ideally your phone does. And then it transmits that image over a secure network. So Bank 21, which happened a few years ago, allowed for electronic payments, which the Fed allowed us to do, right? And so now with that, we can do such things, take a picture of it and send it. So it goes over a secure network to the bank.
But that doesn't work with cash. You can't slide a dollar bill through the handset, can you?
You still cannot slide a dollar bill
through. Or take a picture of it like, look, this is $1,000.
Right, right.
I'd like to put that in.
Well, but, you know, one of the things that you've even seen with ATMs, those have become increasingly more sophisticated and increasingly more expensive as well. But, I mean, it does essentially take a picture of your bills as you're putting them in there. So you can bundle deposits now with some ATMs. You could have a stack of checks and cash and feed it all in there, and it will sort through that, shoot you back a picture of what you just deposited and let you know what it has. So I wouldn't say that it's impossible, but right now it's not out there.
Are we sort of seeing a trailing off of cash registers or using touchscreen kiosks and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, it used to be unusual to walk into the Quick Trip and pay for a pack of gum with a credit card. I don't believe it's all that unusual anymore.
Now, you talked about the use of near-field communications in Europe being pretty prevalent in Europe. Hasn't quite caught on here yet. Why is that? What are the challenges with near field communications?
There's an infrastructure in place that doesn't use near field communication, and the expense, I think, to change all of that out in bulk is a lot for especially small entrepreneurs to bear, and I mean that to me is one of the big reasons.
Getting back to the Go event, Ryan, what types of discussions can we expect from this event on mobile payments and the mobile payment space and where it's going?
I mean, specifically, I think what we're going to be able to hear is from the absolute experts in the industry are going to be able to tell us where they see it going. You know, they do so much research on their own, market research and consumer research, to see, you know, what is going to be used, but also how they're going to make a business out of this. And that's what I'm really excited to find out. I mean, I'm more of a fan really attending this to see and hear from them specifically.
What will banking look like when people aren't using cash at all anymore? Have you anticipated that, and what will be put in place?
Yeah, I mean, my guess is you'd see a lot less brick and mortar, right? So we sort of look at it as there are invisible customers out there. So individuals who will originate with us entirely online, bank with us through mobile or online channels, and we may not ever actually see them in person. So how we deal with that and what that means, I think we're still trying to figure some of that out. But you may not see as many live people on a regular basis, so you won't need as big of an infrastructure, which is good for us.
Yet the main staple of the bank is originating loans and getting those loans paid back and having their deposits be, you know, a safeguard for those loans and a way to show assets. Doesn't that require still a brick-and-mortar presence or a face-to-face combo?
I mean, it may require a central brick-and-mortar presence, right? So you could stick it right in the middle of the city and call it good. But the ability for someone to make a deposit even today, you don't have to ever come into the bank if you want to open up an account and make a deposit. You never have to actually come in. What it will require is just people, right? So we look at it as we do invest in infrastructure, but it's people. Infrastructure, right? So we bring on good lenders who are willing to get out, go see you at your place of business, which quite frankly, from a lending perspective, it's better if the lender is on your site rather than you coming to see us. We go see you, learn a little bit more about you, develop a better relationship, which makes at the end of the day a lending decision easier.
Is that a different approach that your bank takes specifically? Because you usually see people sort of coming into a bank branch hat in hand with their papers or their business ideas written out on their brown bag lunch or something like that, pitching to the lender.
I believe so. I mean, we intentionally challenge the lenders in our bank to get out. don't ask the customer to come see you if it's a doc signing or whatever the case may be. It should be on their terms, right? That we're there to serve them, and so they need to get out of the branch, go see these individuals on their own time and terms.
Ryan, you mentioned that there are obviously a lot of banks here, and a lot of tech companies, burgeoning tech companies that create apps. How would you, with Casey Next, facilitate bringing those two components together?
Yeah, we're lucky to serve, you know, as the regional advocate for tech. We have about 85 companies that are in our portfolio. They're not all technology companies. And the unique thing that we have is relationships. And so we're able to bridge a gap and create as many joint ventures as possible, essentially. So if somebody comes to us with a problem or a need, or let's keep in the mobile topic, if somebody needs an app developed, well, we have an inventory of all the companies in our portfolio that develop apps, and we can easily send them. Whereas if you were to shop for that on your own, it's difficult to find, you know, the right app developer for you.
What mobile trends are you looking at? What sort of the next stage of technology for your bank?
Well, I think what Go will address on Monday is, to me, the next big trend, which is how we facilitate payments from one end user to another. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure what it's going to be. But I think what companies like Dwolla or Chirpify, and there are others out there trying to do the same thing, what they're trying to create is essentially a new payment network. And that, to me, is fascinating. So we're not going to stop that, right? So we need to figure out how we fit and how best to facilitate and be a part of making that happen. Because at the end of the day, it's better for the consumer. So it has to be right for us as well.
You mentioned a new payment network. What does that new payment network look like?
Well, I mean,
with all the pieces in place.
Right. That, I think, is still yet to be determined, right? I mean, Dwolla has essentially built their own payment network, right? They've eliminated all of the clearinghouses that we kind of discussed earlier. So it's essentially you have a transaction happen on one end from one bank, Dwolla in the middle to facilitate it to the next bank. And that's a three-step process, which is a lot shorter than it is today. Right now, all payment networks essentially run through the Fed, and how that works, you know, there's ACH and wires and those sorts of things. How this fits into that, I think the Fed themselves is still trying to figure that out.
And banks such as your bank are working with the Fed to try to figure out how to make that a more seamless process.
Yeah, we have. They ask a lot of questions of us, especially because we have been so technology-centered in what we're trying to do. They've asked a lot of questions of us in terms of what would you like to see, what would you like to see us do, what do you think? And it's they're trying to understand it and figure out their position in it as well, is what I believe, at least.
In pitching a mobile payment system or mobile banking architecture or culture, how do you address the trepidation on the part of customers? Or how do you sort of lessen the barrier to entry in that regard?
You, that you have to show them that it works and that it's safe and secure, right? Anything that is brand new like that, that especially involves your personal finances, everybody's a little hesitant to it. I don't care how fast you are to adopt new technology. You want to the one thing it has to be is secure, right? That you know that when you make that payment or you deposit that check, that it is going into your account and it's clearing and there's no fraud at all involved in that. And really, it is just a matter of showing them how to use it, getting them to use it once, and seeing that it works the way that it should, and they start to develop a comfort with it, and go from there. I think from a younger generation where their phone has become probably more important than their laptop or their computer has in terms of what they have from a personal technology standpoint, those individuals are much more likely, I think, to adopt mobile sooner. But they still the same way. They need to see it work.
Are you actively going after younger customers that use mobile a lot?
No, what I would tell you is that we're after individuals who embrace technology, regardless of age or demographic. You'll see that obviously a more younger demographic sort of defines what's acceptable from a technology perspective, and that has a tendency to move up from a demographic standpoint, so their parents may see it and adopt it as well. And that, I think, we've seen becoming true. Business owners as well, however, are really quick to, if it benefits them, it makes it easier for them to do their day-to-day, they'll embrace the technology pretty quickly as well.
How does mobile payments and mobile banking in general fundamentally change the way we think about banking? Customer-wise, profession-wise, as a banker, and from a regulatory standpoint, how does it change the whole playing field?
Considerably, right? You have banks all over the country that have large branch networks that may not be as relevant to them and may become essentially a drain on assets for them. So from that perspective, the ability for an individual to originate and do their banking when and where they want, that sort of changes the playing field. From a compliance and regulatory standpoint, I think it gets more difficult, right? We have the new CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, coming on. They're still trying to figure out everything. From what I understand, they're very technologically advanced. They get it that they can't sort of stop the tidal wave of what's happening. And so they're going to try and get in front of making sure that system works and is cleared, but that we understand how best to sort of operate within that compliance space. So I think it's being defined every day, and I do think it will change the way that we do banking today.
Our guests are Ryan Weber, president of KC Next, a nonprofit that advocates for tech companies. And you just heard Jeff Chambers of Alterra Bank talking about the future of mobile and banking. Their event is called Go, the Future of Mobile Payments, and it takes place at the Kauffman Center on Monday, July 9th. Gentlemen, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And we're going to take a quick break. When we return, it's time to talk football, but not just any old football. We'll be right back.